We've established an audio medium where people are scared to talk.
Let's all give Nick Saban three fingers.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too.
Sergey Bobovka.
Ground beef.
Mark Hockman.
That's my top category on you porn. McRib dunking.
So was Argentina close to Germany?
Meow.
Channing Crowder.
I set my house on fire at 8 years old. That's why I got the butt foot.
I know how to barbecue. I like my coals hot.
You set yourself up as an idiot, you can be an idiot.
Alejandro Solana.
Hawk, when you mispronounce something, that is better than sex for me.
Sports.
If I say a duck and pull a truck, hug them up.
To what?
To the truck.
Shout out to Springsteen.
I love it when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands up in the air if you're a true player.
More sports.
Man, you 40 years old, Jimmy. Put your meat on the table.
Let them know
where mama at.
Boston, we're coming for that ass.
The most sports.
Who's bigger, Taylor Swift or Pusha T?
The Hawkman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
A very lucky thing happened to me last night and this morning.
Hey!
Congrats on the sex, Hawk.
Wow. There we go.
And it may not sound lucky when I first tell you what happened.
Okay.
But you'll understand. My wife calls me. She's out with friends.
Yeah.
I think somebody ran into my car.
Oh.
I go, what? She sends me a picture of the car. It's got, you know, dented in the front or whatever. She's like, yeah, I don't know. And then she calls me back. She's like, now that I think about it, I think I did this pulling in. There's a planter next to me. It's white. The car, the dent, you know, it's got white paint all over it. She's like, now that I'm thinking about it, because I was listening to music loud, I may not have heard it. She goes, but I think this was me denting the car. Okay. I'm gonna take it in this morning. I have a guy, you know, everybody's got a guy. Mm-hmm. Call my guy Butch. Hey, I got another dented car. Come in. Yeah. Looks at it. Yeah, $1,500. So I say to myself, well, $1,500 on her car because she ran into a planter. I don't need to feel bad about depositing into that Hard Rock account again because everything equals out in the wash. You have your fun with your $1,500 your way. I'll have my fun with my $1,500 my way. We're all winners. Nobody's mad. Life goes on.
And she was a little shaken up with the accident. You had to console her.
No. Yeah, listen, no consoling. It's all Atlantic Men's Clinic. It's time for business. The World Series continues for at least another game. Did you hedge it last night?
I didn't. I should have.
I'll tell you, the best place to hedge something is a 7-game series when you have a 3-0 lead. Because on the first one, if your team doesn't cash the ticket, you're still going to cash your ticket. You're up 3-0. But now you can make a little more money along the way.
That's what, you know what? And I messed up. And then when, because they're up 3-0. So the Dodgers are a better team. So then the Yanks go up 2-0. I'm like, the Dodgers are coming. They got bats. They got big bats. I almost doubled down on
don't
the Dodgers.
Don't do that because you already have your money on the Dodgers. If anything, you should be hedging the other way.
And it's 5-4 or whatever. I'm like, oh, yeah, they're coming back. Then they put this little wiggly arm goofy man in that throws the ball from the ground and nobody can touch it.
There's a prop now. Not a prop, but there's odds now. It was on Bet Online, and it's all the NFL teams – what the percentage of chance is now that they will make the playoffs, according to odds. You know what I mean? It's not mathematical percentage. It's according to what the odds are placed at. So the Dolphins right now to make the playoffs, according to Bet Online, are plus 325. Not make the playoffs, minus 450. So the current odds suggest there's an 81.8% chance the Dolphins do not make the playoffs. Before the season started, the odds suggested a 62.3% chance that the Dolphins would make the playoffs. So we talk about a season that's gone off the rails. It really is in kind of like, you know, large macro terms, one of the more disappointing seasons. If you go from not like you're halfway through the season almost, you go from 60% chance you're going to be in the playoffs to an 80+% chance that you will not. That's an unbelievable disappointment when it comes to the season in totality. Got a lot of games left, but what they lose Sunday? What are they, 2-6? Yes. 2-6. That would seemingly be a very tough road to navigate.
You've been to the playoffs back to back years.
Yeah.
And we'll expect the third year. You're supposed to be getting better and building, and it goes off the rail. We know it's context to it, to his injury and everything like that. But yeah, no, I would have put money preseason, I'd have put money on Dolphins making the playoffs.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And after the Jacksonville game, I would have told you the same thing. I remember the show we did after the Jacksonville game. It was like, hey, they weren't super impressive, but you know what? They faced a little adversity and overcame it. I remember the show we did on Monday. Mm-hmm. That was the tenor of the show. They overcame some adversity. It was a situation that maybe in past years they would have folded being down, came back, they, you know, overcame adversity, and that's the sign of a good team. Mm-hmm. Just hasn't been that this season. And the real, like, the way to turn it around is this Sunday. And I'm just having a tough time getting there. I just having a tough time getting to a victory on Sunday in Buffalo over Josh Allen, knowing what, you know, Kyler Murray did to them the week before. Just having a tough time getting there.
And the turnaround, because the Ravens started like 0-2, and then they went on a 5-game run, and, you know, they looked the way they were supposed to. The Dolphins haven't looked the way they were supposed to yet. Think of what the 27 right. points against the Cardinals, that's the most scored in the game. This time last year, we're talking about a 70 point, about to break the NFL history record, and now we're happy at 27. It hasn't looked the same. That's what I got to see. And I to your point, Hawk, I would have loved for them to play. Hell, I was about to say the Browns. The Browns just beat the damn Ravens. I would love them to play somebody real bad this week to get that turnaround, but it's
who's after Buffalo, Solana?
The Raiders, I believe.
The Raiders? Okay.
Oh, no,
it's a get right game.
Isn't that they play a Monday night football game? I'll look it up really quickly.
Oh, they do. The 11th. They play Monday night football on the
Rams,
11th.
The Rams. Yeah. So it's the Rams and then the Raiders at home. They're at LA.
Is the Monday night game here?
No, it's at LA.
Oh, okay.
Then Patriots.
Well, it was fun.
Packers. Home against the Jets. Packers is Thanksgiving Day. Home against the Jets. At the Texans.
Green Bay on Thanksgiving Day.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
They host the Niners at the Browns, at the Jets to finish out the season.
You want to know, you know what? On the bright side of football, I got right before we went on the air, I got a text from John Ruth at the UM Sports Hall of Fame and Museum. How about this? Someone had tweeted this out, covers college football. The University of Miami's offense has gone 3 and out. On 3.3% of drives this season. That's the lowest rate by an FBS offense since at least 2004. 3 of 92 drives have ended with a punt after 3 plays. 2 of them were against UF, by the way. You can take a little pride in that, Crowder.
Hey.
1 3-and-out in their last 82 drives. That's all unbelievable.
Shannon, that's all Shannon Dawson.
That's all Cam Ward. that's all Cam Ward.
Yeah, he got something special there, man. They were talking about him. I landed last night, and it was a national show, too. That's when you know you got something. It was CBS National something. I don't know what it was, listening to 560. And the guy talked about Cam Ward for about 12, 15 minutes. Just how great he is and how he's turned the program around.
Tim Reynolds tweeted out, Hawk, because we were talking on Monday how the Canes won. They didn't dominate, but it was a convincing win, which is good. And I kind of mentioned to you, man, FSU just kind of played not to get blown out. So in my opinion, they kind of did dominate. They just didn't need to go and put up 50 points. And Tim Reynolds tweeted out, I think yesterday or the night before, if you take away the meaningless last play of the game for UM, they just kneeled the ball. Miami scored on 7 of its 8 drives against FSU. Most of those were field goals, to be fair. But they seven of eight drives, they march down the field, they get points. And if you do that against every team remaining on your schedule with that type of efficiency and consistency, you're going undefeated, brother.
Oh. Thank you, Hulkster.
Let's not do Hulk lines this time of year.
Well, maybe Solana's telling you what he really thinks. You know, does Hulk Hogan, that's actually a good point. Does Hulk Hogan own brother? Can't we take that back from him? If that's the case, can't we take that back, or he's got that?
I don't think he has it. I think he's attached to it.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Is he?
Like, he's so attached to it that you can't say brother without, you know, evoking Hulk Hogan.
Or undercover.
But Tua says brother. Tua says brother all the time. I never grew up watching Hulk Hogan. Like, I don't know anything about Hulk Hogan other than the things.
But doesn't Tua kind of say brother? It's more Polynesian, you know, brother?
Brother.
Brother.
Yeah, it's more Polynesian.
All right.
Because Hulkster says brother.
Well, actually, it's like black people own brother.
Brother?
Yep. So, Lana.
Solana's on that side.
Yeah.
Solana's on the black side.
He's on the black side.
Would it make you feel more comfortable, both of you, if I said brother instead of brother? Because I genuinely, brother. Me and my friends, we say that all the time to each other. Like, hey, brother. Like, we're being serious. Hey, brother. Listen up.
No, hey, brother, that doesn't strike me as that. It's when you finish a sentence and then... You know, your point of emphasis at the end is brother, because that's what the Hulkster does.
Gotcha.
So you can use that at the beginning all you want. That's yours.
I got it. Thanks, brother.
I'm a bro guy.
Got it, brother.
Who is that, DVJ? I'm more of a bro guy. I don't do the bro.
Bruh. Contagious, bruh.
Hey, just bruh.
Today is National Candy Corn Day. Tomorrow, of course, Halloween. Today is National Candy Corn Day.
Second worst candy in the world.
Yeah, I agree with you. Butterfinger, the worst. Candy corn.
No.
Second.
Black licorice, the worst. Candy corn.
Yeah, black licorice is terrible. Yeah. But you're just, that to me is very racist, because licorice as a whole happens to be good. So why are you going to just categorize the black licorice?
No, because I think it was a conspiracy against the color when they made those damn black jelly beans and the black licorice, the nastiest flavor ever created to humankind.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. There might be something to that.
Yeah.
Oh, they want black jelly beans. Okay. Guess what these are going to taste like.
What if a marshmallow tasted like black licorice?
Right. That's a great point.
I think it was a conspiracy.
Never thought of that. But you do categorize it when you say black licorice in particular, because I would say licorice itself.
No.
All licorices, look at them in totality, it's a delicious candy.
No, Twizzlers are delicious.
Right.
But the black licorice.
You can't just take one and put it on the bad candy list. It's got to be the totality of the candy.
No, jelly beans are delicious. Then they throw in those black ones, and it sneaks up on. I eat jelly beans at night when I can't see which one's pour in my hand, and you hit one of them black ones, it ruins your night.
The truth of the matter is, you cannot eat jelly beans if you can't look at them, because you don't want to get a black one.
Yeah, and I think that's the big pharma.
Twizzlers aren't licorice, by the way. I don't know if you knew that, but they just look like licorice.
No, they're licorice.
No.
Yeah.
It's like hotcakes and sauce.
It's not.
Pancakes. It sure is.
The black Twizzlers, I believe, have actual licorice in them. But just like the I don't know, are they cherry or raspberry, whatever the hell they are? Just like the
red licorice doesn't have licorice.
Right. Red Twizzlers.
Talking about Twizzlers. I'm talking about licorice.
Well, I didn't know there was red licorice. Is there?
Well, what do you think a red Twizzler is?
A Twizzler. It just looks like licorice. It's a Twizzler.
Well, you think licorice looks like a Twizzler?
No, I think Twizzlers look like licorice.
But in other words, I'm saying, so you think licorice, the actual flavor of licorice in it, in the wild, looks mm-hmm. like a Twizzler?
It has to be wound up,
I thought
hanging
it was, off a tree?
I thought it was black. I thought licorice was black.
I think licorice is a flavor, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hmm.
How about the Rizzler? When, and more importantly, he was on the Fallon show. All right, we're going to get sidetracked here. Two more. But today is National Candy Corn Day. It's an awful, awful candy. My electrician, Justin, friend of mine, just texted me, Peeps. Oh, these people love these Peeps around Easter or whatever. Yeah. Garbage candy. I mean, just garbage candy. Although I put that in the category almost of cotton candy because it's like nothing and it's sticky and it's just sugar. And you love cotton candy. So I don't understand how you could love cotton candy and not like Peeps.
The Peeps are marshmallows with sugar on the outside.
It's just enough already. It's enough. They got all of a sudden they have root beer Peeps, you know, and it's like, what are we doing? Root beer Peeps? Like, what are we doing?
So marshmallows are cotton candy?
Yeah. It's a ill use of sugar. It's a weird packaging of just sugar. What like what's the pleasure in a marshmallow?
I guess it's pliable.
But a gummy is pliable. A marshmallow is like a mass of chewy, gelatinous goop. I don't understand the pleasure in it. I don't understand people eating marshmallows.
I'm not a marshmallow guy, but I can't put that in the group of cotton candy. Cotton candy is delicious.
But marshmallows, you would agree, by themselves, I'm with you, but you would agree, like, with a graham cracker and a little piece of chocolate, roasted marshmallow happens to be really good.
You're talking about a s'more?
What are you breaking down step by step s'more?
Why all the histrionics? Just say a s'more.
Yeah, I mean, I did.
A graham cracker, a little roasted marshmallow, a little chocolate.
I don't understand. I described the s'more. I mean, you knew what I was talking about.
Well, no, but you gave me a recipe. It would be like me saying, I don't like mozzarella cheese. And you'd be like, well, but mozzarella cheese, if you put it over a circular piece of dough and some tomato sauce on top of it and you sprinkle the mozzarella cheese, wouldn't you acknowledge that? Well, you're talking about a pizza? All right, Zach Gelb is going to join us. Let's do a real quick look at the headlines. That went off the rails. Headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
Supposed to submit like a short bio of every segment for the app listeners? Text me, somebody, please. Yeah. 305-567.
Good luck with that one.
0560. How do I describe this segment?
Did Big Pharma intentionally make black jelly beans taste bad because of inherent racism in the system?
That's what it is. That's what they do.
That one
comes back from sitting down for an hour with Barack Obama, and all of a sudden he's got a whole hot take on black jelly beans.
The impression is deep.
This one might have more legs than Rob Conrad faking being left out in the ocean.
ain't nobody swimming 9 miles.
According to David Fiorones, these are the Dolphins players not seen at practice while the media was able to view it today. No Tyreek Hill. We know he's dealing with a foot injury. No Javon Holland. McDaniel said that he's not concerned for Holland this season, but I feel like he made it seem it's going to be very unlikely he plays Sunday. No Zach Sealer. He has the fractured orbital bone. No Calais Campbell, no Tron Armstead, no Jordan Poyer, no Ogba. I imagine all those guys, veteran rest. We'll find out a little bit later today. No Kohu, who missed last game, no Benito Jones, no Julian Hill, who knows, and no Storm Duck either.
All right.
The Heat, they host the Knicks tonight at 7:30 p.m.
All right. Can hear the game here.
World Series, Game 5 tonight, 8 p.m. in New York. Yesterday, everybody's seen the video. Yanks win 11-4, but two Yankees fans stole the show. They tried to steal the ball from Mookie Betts in the outfield.
Ridiculous. I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous.
Crazy.
That's a Saturday Night Live skit. Like, that can't happen. that is so perfect New Yorker. I'm here, and I don't care that you're playing ball. That ball's near me. I want the ball. Like, it literally is everything you need to know about New York.
Grab it, Tony. It's yours.
I got the glove. Get the ball.
I'm glad the ump made the right call.
Yes, made the right call. They kicked the guys out of the game.
That was ridiculous, though.
Well, according to those guys, the Yankees told them they can come back for Game 5. But I did read that Major League Baseball has asked the Yankees to ban them from ever coming back to a stadium.
Game 5 as well, at least.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
All right. Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm.
Gotta set precedence, Solana. You gotta set precedence.
I'm not defending them. And I have no love for Yankees fans. So, good.
I was just up there holding the door for everybody. No thank yous.
Mm-hmm. It's all about the water.
I got y'all candies.
Oh, I can't wait. That candy looked good.
It is. I got y'all candies.
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Very cloudy today, but around 80 degrees. That is your weather.
All right, Zach Gelb is going to join us in the next segment from the Infinity Sports Network, so do not go anywhere.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? Shadow knows.
Hawk and Crowder.
Zach Gelb is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Reminder, before we bring on Zach, you're looking for Canes or Dolphins merch, you know the place to do it. Caneswear in Davie or caneswear.com. Zach Gelb hosts afternoons nationally on the Infinity Sports Network. And he joins us from the WFAN studios in New York City, a place where fans think they're actually part of the World Series. They believe that if a ball is anywhere in their vicinity, because this was not a Bartman situation, as one of the texters pointed out, because Bartman and Moises Alou were going for the ball at the same time. Bartman got a little confused. This ball was caught. The play is over at that point. The ball is caught. As a fan, you do not have the right to now grab a player's glove and try to pry the ball out of it. You can ask nicely for the ball.
Hey, Mook.
Hey, but you cannot just grab someone's glove, try to pry the ball out of it. Zach Gelb, you can speak for all New Yorkers.
All I will say is this. It happened in the first inning. So if that game was in Florida, there'd be no fans there because they don't show up to at least the third or the fourth.
All right. You're not defending that. You're not defending that jackassery, are you?
So I don't defend it, but I do think it is extremely funny because no one got hurt. Like if Mookie Betts got hurt, it's a different story. But I find it hilarious, like the people on social media today that are like, I have to hold everybody accountable and send 2,000 tweets out about this situation. And how dare anyone glorify these two stunads that were at the game last night? Like it's an inane situation. You know, at the end of the day, nothing terrible did happen, even though it was stupid. We could all laugh and move on to Game 5.
But, Gil, that happens nowhere but New York.
Nowhere else.
That's not true. Like,
Philly, whatever.
No, not even Philly.
Grabbing a glove and trying to take the ball, especially during a World Series.
Let's look at fan behavior on the West Coast, if we're going to be serious, and people that get killed when they go to games. Let's talk about that. But
that doesn't involve the players and the action on the field. You're talking about
parking lot. I'm not defending it, but I did have a friend text me this, which you guys will appreciate it. He's a Jet fan. He goes, heck, now I'm going to buy tickets and go try to tackle CJ Stroud on Thursday night because the Jets Jets defense won't do it.
Yankees fans set a precedent. I mean, now anything goes. But what Crowder was in the city yesterday. He was in the city, and he
said, "Why didn't you hit me up? We could have got two tickets and gone to the World Series."
Yeah, I landed at 12. I left at 6. I worked for 5.5 hours.
Oh, you worked for 5.5 hours. You act like you're digging ditches. Calm down.
He said that the city was on edge. He said that it was like particularly on edge yesterday. Is this because, now again, they won last night, so they could relax a little bit. But yesterday when he was there, they hadn't played Game 3 yet, or Game 4 yet. And he said the city was on edge. Is the city right now on edge because of the Yankees' poor performance, aside from last night?
Oh, they're down 3-0 in the World Series at that point. What would you expect everyone? I'm not a Yankee fan, but you would expect Yankee fans to be happy about being down 3-0. You know, we're as New Yorkers, we're annoyed even if it's 75 and sunny and all's going well in the world. So when your team's down 3-0 in the World Series, what did you think? Everyone was going to be patting on the behind. Hey, it's Channing Crowder. We love you. No, they hate his guts, Channing Crowder, because of the whole Rex Ryan fight that we saw on the Pivot episode that was rehashed.
I don't want a patty on the butt. If I hold the door for you, I just want acknowledgement. If I make a joke standing in line, I just want you to giggle. I just want some human interaction.
Channing, I tried to get off the subway today. Before I had the doors open and they even let me out, you had 10,000 people rush in and basically stampede all over you. You're lucky someone didn't say, hey, thanks for holding the door open for me, you jackass, right? Like, that's usually what you get in New York.
Your stop, or were you able to get off on the subway?
I was able to get off. I'm a large man, so I was able to push my way through. I saw what the Jets offensive line in front of me. I just
As long as we're talking about New York and sports, and might as well bring up the Jets. What is the end game with Aaron Rodgers and the Jets? Because this is an unmitigated disaster now. Oh, and you fired a head coach and then gone on to lose 3 in a row after you fire him. Like, what I don't know what the plan is at this point.
Think about it. The Patriots can't block. They can't catch. They were playing a backup quarterback, and it was still good enough to beat the lousy Jets. You know, that's how pathetic that team is. They've lost 5 in a row. This is all Woody Johnson and Aaron Rodgers. You know, Woody Johnson hand the keys over to Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers is a terrible GM. And he is an overrated leader. I know people like him. Oh, you know, great teammate, blah, 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 blah. You know, Aaron Rodgers, he's an all-time great quarterback. He's a top 10 quarterback of all time. But Channing knows this, right? Like, when you're in the VIP section, there's even a VIP section in the VIP section. You know, Brady, Montana, you know, Patrick Mahomes, John Elway. You know, those guys are in a different category. Peyton Manning. Than Aaron Rodgers, because Rodgers is not willing to do whatever it takes to win. You know, I know that sometimes gets laughed at in the pre-draft process, like, oh, this guy has other interests. Those quarterbacks, they live, sleep, eat, and breathe football. Aaron Rodgers, in the later part of his career, you know, he's concerned about going to Egypt. He's concerned about the darkness retreat and all the ayahuasca stuff. Football is not the number one priority.
Any way they bring him back?
Yeah, I think so. I think they could run it back again next year, because Woody Johnson's like Jerry Jones. He doesn't run an organization with the goal to win the most amount of games. It's in an outdated newspaper business. How many times can we get on the back page of the Post, for crying out loud?
That's wild. Wait, is he under contract for next year, or was just a 2-year deal?
1 year left on the deal.
Yep. Well, there is 1 year left on the deal. What about our quarterback? So Tua's back. And they lost last week, so now they go to Buffalo this Sunday. If they lose in Buffalo, and we are having a tough time figuring out how they win in Buffalo, but if they lose in Buffalo and they fall to 2-6, then what? Like, what happens with this team and Mike McDaniel and Tua and the organization and the plan for this core to be a winning core? Like, what do you do?
I think you're stuck. That's what I think. You just paid Tua Tagovailoa. We know Tua is important to this team, so he's not going anywhere. Maybe Stephen Ross is going to finally get rid of Chris Greer, but if you get rid of Chris Greer, you should get rid of Mike McDaniel. So I kind of just think it's going to stay the same. Last week was very disappointing because the offense played well. You had Tua back, and they blew the game. So that was extremely disappointing. But if I had to give you any optimism – because people think I'm very negative about the Dolphins. You know, I'm just realistic. I call it how I see it. Sorry, folks. If you don't like it, go take a hike. But when I look at this game, Bills and Dolphins, the Bills had a big victory, blowout victory last week in Seattle. You know, it's not anything Miami is really going to do that gives me confidence to take care of Buffalo, because Buffalo owns Miami. It's okay. Here's a Bills letdown when they breathe a little bit and they exhale a little bit. And then maybe the Dolphins, because they have a lot of talent, are able to capitalize on it.
And something else, Gil, we were talking about, we've heard, I want to say Beasley brought it up, where if they start 2-6, you have a lot of old guys on big number deals. Jalen Ramsey, you have Javon Holland, who's a young guy who's going to need money. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Do you think they should sell at 2-6? Is there a number? Is there an eye test where you say, you know what? Not blow it up, but let's capitalize on some of this talent, get some draft picks so we can move forward and then try to win more games.
Yeah, well, it'll be a last second yard sale because they haven't made that decision yet. The trade deadline is coming up on Tuesday. You're not trading any of your big, big players. Like, you're not trading Tyreek Hill. You're not trading Jalen Waddle, obviously. So if you want to tell me Jalen Ramsey is someone, sure. Is anyone going to trade for Jalen Ramsey on that contract? I would imagine no. So I think you could get rid of players, but I don't think your marquee names, you know, the foundational pieces, obviously you throw two out of that conversation because they're not trading the quarterback, but I'm talking about Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I would be shocked if they ended up moving one of them.
Is there a honeymoon phase? Was there a honeymoon phase for Mike McDaniel? Is that over? Have you from afar, we're much closer to it, have you from afar lost confidence in Mike McDaniel, if you ever had it in the first place?
Yeah, I've said this before to you guys. With Mike McDaniel, I always felt like I was on the outside of the inside joke with him. Now, he's had success in Miami. Like, he hasn't been a disaster. He's been more good than bad. But I still feel like the national discussion hasn't caught up, and they're just like, Tua was out. What else can you expect, you know, anyone to do? I still feel like nationally people still believe in Mike McDaniel. Why? Is it locally? Is everyone like, okay, that's the number one guy we're blaming for this season?
I don't know. I mean, Solano, what do you think? That I mean, I would say that it's a combination of Mike McDaniel and the personnel that he was given to work with when Tua went down. But that's also partly on Mike McDaniel.
It's the GM for sure. I think he's number one in terms of blame, but Mike McDaniel, like, even in those four games without Tua, it's fine. They're without Tua. They're not supposed to be as good, but I mean, Kelp, they were abysmal.
Averaged 11 points a game over those four games. You can't be an offensive genius and average 11 points a game.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think, like, if they do move on from Mike McDaniel, I don't think you take a roll of the dice on someone that is a coordinator that's ever been a head coach, because that was just what Mike McDaniel basically was. So, like, do you want Mike Vrabel as the head coach? You know, I suggested Belichick to you guys a few weeks ago, and you said there was no way that was going to happen. So if you're getting rid of Greer, do you maybe have one of Belichick's friends come with him be the GM, and Bill be the head coach? And then Belichick could go stick at the Kraft potentially, because, you know, the two of them, they are not, seeing eye to eye these days.
What do you think of candy corn? Today is National Candy Corn Day. Trash. Tomorrow's Halloween. Do you have Halloween trick-or-treaters come to your place? Like, you live in an apartment in New York? I'm assuming you're not in, like, a family area.
No, there are families in my apartment complex, but there's a sign-up sheet. And you either check your...
You don't sign up?
Well, I just saw it today for the first time, so I may have forgot to check the box. And anyway, I won't be...
You're a high-profile national radio host.
Hold on.
You're not going to allow the trick-or-treaters to knock on your apartment door?
They can knock on my door. Nobody will be home because I am on the air from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. And not only that, afterwards, I have to, for work tomorrow night, go to MetLife Stadium. So I will not get back to my apartment anyway until 1 a.m. Eastern time or 2 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow.
You can't put out a little pumpkin filled with candy that says, take one, please, and happy Halloween?
Well, the reason I will not do that is because I was the fat kid that would just take the entire bowl. So I don't want to just help out the fat kid that just wants to
punish everyone for your former misdeeds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they think I'm the jackass neighbor. You know, I'm a curmudgeon, sure. I'm a New Yorker. What do you expect? If you don't like it, forget about it.
Unbelievable.
Gabagool. I'll give out gabagool.
Okay? Gabagool. Hey, Gail, is it a conspiracy that black licorice and black jelly beans are nasty as hell historically? Because I have clear seltzer water that tastes like strawberry and passion fruit, but for some reason, black candies are nasty as hell.
Huh. I've never thought about it this way.
You see what they did to us?
Because my grandmother, who lives in Florida, so maybe this is a Florida thing, she always likes a little chocolate licorice, and she would always have it in her house, so maybe that's why she's a little bit crazy.
Chocolate licorice or black licorice?
The same thing. Tomato, tomato.
No, it's just...
chocolate licorice would taste good. Black licorice does not.
I prefer the red licorice over the black licorice, but I don't... Like, it's just... It's whatever.
But do you think that that's institutional racism?
Mm-hmm. Jeez. Channing, can you help a brother out here, please?
I'm calling a friend.
Have a good show.
They push this white milk. They push these white eggs.
Mark,
they push
this
the white
is
going to
be an awful announcing headline later. Two racists on WQAM. That's the name of this show for now on. You know what? This is my last appearance on this show. So the YouTube commenters that call this
and
a negative Gelb, guy about the Dolphins.
You adieu.
Goodbye. Yeah, I'm done. You know what? I can't support Mark Hochman anymore. That old, just crusty white guy. Later, guys.
There you go. Zach Gelb from the Infinity Sports Network. I knew he was going to be sweating bullets, man, because he doesn't go near anything that could be twisted in any which way. That was fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Refrigerator, man. A lot of, you know. Might love the white bread, Hawk.
Once the bread goes black, you throw it right out.
The milk's white, eggs.
You're onto something.
Oh, man, listen.
Or you're on something.
I just looked in. I got some chicken noodle soup. White noodles.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
If you play dead, it gets you out of a lot in life. I do it all the time.
Hawk and Crowder.